Hello, as we gather again on this fourth week of the series on Advent, and now we come to that most holy of nights. You know, it's a time when I've always imagined the earth holding its breath. Last week, we looked at how the people and events of the Nativity confront us in the earthiness of what took place, and how each of those invite us to look differently upon the not us. Well, today, on Christmas Eve, we will let the Nativity lead us into the realm of the beyond us, the eternal transcendent reality. Jesus said in John 11, "Did I not tell you that if only you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" The angels tell us that the glory of God is always with us, always inviting us to listen and to see and to believe. Zacharias did not believe, and he lost his voice. I think that when we choose not to believe, or that believing it all is just too big a leap, too fantastic to be true, when we do that, we begin to diminish our spiritual senses. But when we, like Mary and the shepherds, choose to believe, we're reawakened. We once again experience in the deepest part of our being the experience of being reborn. Surely this is one of the Holy Spirit's great gifts to us, as Paul said, the pledge of our inheritance. The angels say to us, like those wonderfully ordinary men in the field, come and see. Don't stay where you are because something more wonderful has happened. All you need to do is come and to believe, and you will see it, and you will be changed by it forever. You know, I've always suspected that the shepherds out in the field, when the angelic host came to them, the angels didn't suddenly appear. I think rather they allowed this group of frightened and awestruck men to see what is always happening, what is always taking place with us and around us, the glory of God. And that's why I so love this angelic episode in the Nativity story. God's reality breaks in so that you and I can see and feel and know how great the overarching truth of the kingdom of heaven truly is. This truth is not there, but here. It is not then, but now. The three magi, they saw a star and they believed what they saw. Through their choice to believe, they too saw the glory of God. The star tells me that the entire powers of the cosmos bow to the one who created them. The mystery of the star points to the infinite, eternal, cosmic majesty of Christ and his kingdom. The star alludes to and fulfills part of an ancient prophecy, Balaam's prophecy over Israel, where he said, "A star shall rise out of Jacob, and a man shall rise out of Israel." Notice once again, God used an outsider from Moab to speak his truth. The three magi were not seeking an earthly king, but a heavenly one. And it was this seeking that awakened their spiritual senses, that led them to see and follow a star that no one else followed. I sometimes wonder if anyone else even saw the star. The star was the manifestation of the revelation that the three magi were receiving from the Holy Spirit. Something heavenly, something otherworldly was leading them. And the voice inside them was louder and more real than the life around them. I'm reminded of Jesus' words to Nicodemus. He said, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." If I've told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? In the Nativity, in this most holy of nights, we are invited to let the gospel lift our eyes from the earthly to the heavenly, from the temporal to the eternal. Now, when we consider Bethlehem, that small town of about 2,000, we can think of it as the Celtic Christians from the earliest days recognized there were unique places where the curtain between heaven and earth seemed to be especially thin. They called these thin places. These places carry the presence of God in a greater and more intimate way. They're holy, sacred places. Surely, if there's a thin place anywhere, it was that cave in Bethlehem. You know, we may think of places of pilgrimage, like Iona, a place I'd love to visit in the Hebrides, or one of the beautiful and ancient cathedrals of Europe being a thin place. I love to go into old churches and cathedrals and just be still, places where Christ has been worshiped for hundreds of years. I'm most fortunate because the longest continually used church in America is in my city, and sometimes I'll just go in there. I remember one time Christina and I were in Sofia, Bulgaria, and we went into the oldest church in that country. It was built in 303. Imagine that. Over 1,700 years of worship. I love going where Christ has been worshiped for hundreds of years. It's as if that worship soaks into the stones. Now, I believe it is time for our modern churches to rediscover the importance of sacred space, to rediscover as we gather how important it is to have time for silence, for, as Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. And just as sacred space is for the church gathered, it's also for each one of us. We can create our own sacred space. That space where you and I go to meet with Christ. Maybe it's a room. Maybe it's an outdoor place. I know I have a sacred place where I just connect with him and sense his presence, and I always feel like he's there waiting for me. The core idea undergirding sacred space is the reality of the incarnation of God in a particular place, Bethlehem, and a particular person, Jesus Christ, who's fully God and fully man. One of the church fathers, Crematius, put it this way: the Son of God, who is God of the universe, is born a human being in the flesh. He permits himself to be placed in a manger, and the heavens are within that manger. I love that phrase. Now, many times I've said that the triune God is outside of and beyond our time-space world. I believe this. Because of that reality that transcends the limits of our dimensions, what took place in that small town, in that cave, 2,000 years ago, in the reality of God who was outside of time and space, that same event is still taking place. The Nativity invites me not only to contemplate the Nativity as a past event, but to enter into that event here and now. A Welsh pastor and writer, Patrick Thomas, has written, "It is this ability to fuse together the unique time and place for Christ's birth in Bethlehem with our own specific presence here, which is a realization that the eternal moments of the incarnation or crucifixion or resurrection can transcend time and space, enabling us to relocate Bethlehem or Calvary or the garden of the third day in our own backyard. As we consider the Christ child, even more than that, as we behold him, in seeing Christ, in seeing God incarnate, we are seeing that truly heaven has come down to earth. Jesus is heaven on earth. He is the full reality of God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And from now on, the world lives in the midst of a new reality. Saint Ambrose wrote this: he was a babe and a child, so that you may be a perfect human. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, so that you may be freed from the snares of death. He was in a manger, so that you may be in the altar. He was on earth, that you may be in the stars. And remember, Paul wrote in Ephesians that we are seated with him in heavenly places. He had no other place in the inn, so that you may have many mansions in heaven. The 13th century writer John of Cressy in France expressed the joy of this reality. Heaven and earth are united today, for Christ is born. Today, God has come to earth and humankind gone up to heaven. Today, for the sake of humankind, the invisible one is seen in the flesh. Therefore, let us glorify him and cry aloud, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace bestowed by your coming. Savior, glory to you. Well, as we wrap up these 4 weeks, I would say to myself and all of us, we need these weeks of Advent. We need the Nativity, the angels, the shepherds, the wise men. We need all of it. Why? Because we forget. In the busyness of our lives, in the work of caring for ourselves and our families, in the difficulties and disappointments, in the earthiness of life, we forget. We forget the wonder of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God with us. We forget the ever-present reality of heaven breaking in. We forget the sacredness of life. We need the sacredness of the Nativity to bring us back, to recenter us, to once again be reawakened and reborn to what is true. The Nativity shouts to me the sacredness of life, all life, yours, mine, the human family, this wonderful earth that he has created and into which he has breathed his life, his beauty, and his essence. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. God bless you.